Welcome to Life is a Classroom, the podcast. Here's your host, Keop Jones. Hello, everyone out there in podcast land. You are listening to the voice of Keop Jones. This is Life is a Classroom, the podcast. As always, we would like to say thank you for listening to today's session of Life is a Classroom. Please go ahead and share us across all of your social media platforms. If you have not subscribed to the podcast, go ahead and do so so that you will know when another session has been dropped. Thanks for listening to today's session of Life is a Classroom. Class is now in session. Welcome back, all classmates, to today's session of Life is a Classroom. This is the podcast. As always, I am your brother and I am your friend, Keop Jones. Thank you again for tuning in and listening to today's session. Today's session is a very important one. It's a very personal one, one that hits close to home, a subject that I've pretty much had to deal with my entire life and am dealing with currently right now. We're going to talk about addictions today, the power of addiction, breaking addiction, as well as the recovery process. My addiction story really does not start with me, but we're going to talk about my addiction story. I was actually born to parents who had already been abusing drugs, and both individually, my mother and my father had their own history with drugs. So whether or not I was going to have an addiction, whether or not I ever tried drugs or got on drugs or abused drugs, I was always going to have an addiction story because of my parental history, because of my family, because of my parents. But my addiction story began in my early 30s. I was in a relationship, and in the beginning, I did not know that my partner was abusing drugs. He actually hid that from me, and until one day, you know, I began to see all of the signs and, you know, called him out on it. And of course, you know, we can't, you know, had to deal with the truth that he was abusing drugs. Now, in that instance, and initially, I was trying to be supportive of him. I was trying to be loving and caring, and you know, because he was hiding and he would run off for the weekend or he would do things like that to get away when he was doing drugs. And I wanted to be, in the beginning, initially a nest and a hiding place and, you know, a place of comfort. And I was like, you know, you didn't have to really hide or do that. You don't have to hide that from me. I was open to the fact of him doing it in front of me. And then my openness to the fact of him doing it in front of me, of course, piqued my curiosity to me trying it myself. And I think, you know, that as always with any drug or any addiction, especially drugs, there's always someone that introduces you to the drug. Now, let me pause right here because I want to go back, because I want to be clear. Addictions are more than drug related. You can be addicted to shopping. You can be addicted to eating. You can be addicted to gambling. So when we talk about addictions, we're not just talking about drugs and alcohol. We're really talking about something that takes the power of the control and the decision making of your life. I mean, people who are addicted to sex, you know, can't help but watch porn all the time, and, you know, are all in all kind of groups and sex groups, and, you know, all of their. And so, an addiction, you know, is anything that ruins, that comes in your life, takes over the power of your life, and, you know, becomes a thing that you, you know, desire, crave, and fulfill. And it becomes a topic of your, you know, it becomes the interest of your being, you know, and It becomes a need that you have to satisfy. That's what an addiction is. You know, it's if you're addicted to stealing, or if you're addicted to shopping, or if you're addicted to cigarettes, you know, it's a hunger and thirst. And that hunger and thirst causes you, because it's not the hunger and thirst, you know, to shop or to have a drink or to, well, you know, there are some bad things like stealing or whatever, you know, but all the time the hunger or the thirst is not there. It's just your ability to not control the hunger and the thirst. And when your hunger and thirst begins to cloud your sane thinking, you know, then you're under the power of an addiction. And so, like I said, I became under the power of a really strong drug addiction, you know. And for me in the beginning, you know, I had all the signs I was naive. I was in denial. I told myself, you know, I wasn't like other people. I was hiding from my family. Even though I could dress it up and still get my hair cut and, you know, and still look good, you know, I felt like, you know, my struggle or my problem was hidden, or I was able to control it to the point to where nobody could tell, you know. And that is the first illusion of addiction, is that you are under an illusion. Like, you simply, addiction, the first thing that addiction does is it clouds your judgment about yourself and your behavior. When you are addicted, your behavior that you exhibit is only to satisfy the need of your addiction. And so if you have to be, you know, cunning or aggressive or lie or cheat or steal or, you know, aggressive, whatever you have to do to satisfy that need in your addiction, that's what you do, you know. And you're under an illusion. You know, and I first started doing drugs because I was doing drugs around people who kept themselves together and didn't look like they were on the street begging or selling stuff, because I did drugs around people who, you know, had jobs and, you know, were functioning. You know, I didn't see that I had a problem, you know. But the thing about addiction is a slow roll. It's a snowball that that turns into a big problem. You have no idea the road. You have no idea the damage or the road that you're about to be on when you really are under the pain of an addiction. You know, there's one point when you go from trying, and I'm speaking in reference of drugs because of my experience, you know, there's a process, or there's a period where you go from trying the drug and, you know, doing the drug recreationally or whatever, or doing the drug around people. And then there's that process and that area where you go into where your need for the drug and your desire for the drugs increases to the point that it clouds your judgment and you become desperate. You know, in my addiction, you know, when I didn't have money to meet the need and get what I needed, you know, I turned to stealing, I turned to lying, I turned to being crafty, you know, I turned to deceit. I mean, when you are under an addiction, you are under an illusion, and your willingness to feed that addiction, your desperateness to feed that addiction, becomes so big, becomes so aggressive. Like, you are... I mean, for me, I'm going to make this statement because I've been around a lot of people that have had drug problems, because I ran in those circles. You know, some of the most craftiest and business-minded and smart, you know, people are people who are trying to get that next drug. You know, will think of anything, will try anything, will come up with anything. And believe it and carry it out. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it took. I think, and I know personally for me, you know, I had that attitude while I was in my addiction. I was so overtaken. And there was a point when, you know, I was lying to myself and I was telling myself, you know, I got this and it's okay. And there became a point in my addiction to where my judgment was clouded, and I really began to suffer not taking care of myself, hygiene wise, not keeping a job, homelessness, began to accumulate a criminal history because I was stealing and desperate for the drug. So an addiction overpowers you. And I became totally overpowered. Like, I became totally out of control of my life. From sunup to sundown, my desire was the drug. And the drug meant more to me than my own health, even at some points. I remember, you know, checking myself out of the hospital because I had money and I had, you know, an opportunity to get some, you know, to get some stuff. I had got some money while I was in the hospital. And, you know, I knew I wasn't even well, you know, but because I knew I could get some drugs and it was accessible, you know, I signed myself out of the hospital, you know, took crazy chances in stealing and in theft. When you become weakened, when your will becomes weakened, it's a painful, painful place to be in. It's a painful, painful ride. Addiction. It's a painful, painful ride. Yes, that is exactly how you feel. Your life crashes under any addiction. Your life bottoms out to the point to where you are totally incapable of rendering any decision that can affect your life positively. When you get to the bottom of your addiction, you know, I was stealing stuff out of stores, selling them at gas stations. There have been some times when I have engaged in sexual activity in exchange for drugs. I mean, that's how weak and that's how dead you become. That's how lifeless you become under the power of addiction. And, you know, the sad thing about addiction is that it does not affect the person. It does not just affect the person who is addicted. It definitely affects everybody around that individual, because that individual, the person that becomes addicted, is not themselves. They become a total different individual, you know, under an addiction. You know what I'm saying? Totally not themselves. Totally lacking the ability to make any decision making. You know, very untrustworthy. And that affects everybody. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this in this podcast, is because I know there are people who have family, who have friends, who have people in their communities, who are under, you know, the power of an addiction. And, you know, that is a tough place to be in, to love somebody and to see something tear their life apart, you know, to love somebody and to see them not be able, you know, to make any changes or not be able to do anything successfully or not be able to move their life in any way forward because they are trapped and bound by an addiction. That's a tough place to be in, you know, and there are mothers who have children who are suffering an addiction. There are mothers who have sisters and brothers who are suffering from addiction. There are people's children who are suffering from addiction. I mean, it is definitely a tough place to be in, to love somebody, but watch somebody tear their life apart because they're under the rule and they are powerless to a drug or, you know, whatever their addiction is. Of course, in my case, we're talking about drugs. It's very tough to see your loved one, to see your mate, to see your friend struggle. And you can't, you know, they become untrustworthy, undependable, you know, just all of the things, you know. And that is the price of addiction. It is a destroyer. Definitely, you know, I say this, nobody gets on drugs and wins. Nobody gets on drugs and win unless you get off. You know, but it is a destroyer of your life. My addiction, you know, took my attention away from my gifts, took my attention away from my calling, took my attention away from my career, took my attention away from me wanting to love and take care of myself. Addiction, the price of addiction and the pain of addiction is immeasurable. The time that it takes to get high, the time that it takes you away from your family, the time that it takes you away, the time that you lose, time that you never get back. In doing the drug, and you know, some people have, because of their addiction and doing the drug, have committed crimes and have to go to jail behind their addiction. I mean, time, so much time is lost within families, within loved ones. You know, addiction is definitely a theft. It is definitely a thief. And you know, my life was no different. Took me away from my family, you know, took me away from my sane and correct mind. You become a slave. You become absolutely powerless. And, you know, the people around you, it's hard to love somebody. You have no, you know, understanding. You know, I know one of the things that I went through in my addiction was when people, you know, began to find out that I was addicted. Because I'm going to tell you what, eventually the signs show. You can hide it for a while. You can disguise it for a while. You know, you can, as my mother would say, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you're not going to be able to fool all the people all the time. And eventually your addiction will put you front and center. And in my case, you know, when it did, you know, there were people who could not believe, you know, that I would allow myself to become a prisoner to a drug. And so when a person is really under the power of an addiction, they may not admit it. You may never get them to say it, but there is definitely a pain there. There is definitely a hurt there. There is definitely a void and a place in a person's life, you know, that the addiction takes, you know. But it's not all good. You know, the high does come down. The high does come down. And that is when, you know, all of the, you know, depression comes in, the anxiety comes in, the, you know, low self-esteem comes in, you know. And then, of course, a desire to chase all that would be, you know, to get high again. So the price of addiction, it's immeasurable. You know, and to everybody out there that is dealing with somebody, you know, in an addiction, you know, my advice would be love. The power of love. That's a whole, like, other whole podcast, right? But the power of love, will unconditional love, love without judgment, love without restraint, love without fear. The real power of love is what I would say to show, you know, somebody that you may know suffering from addiction. Pointing the finger and, you know, the tough love thing, you know, and every case is different, you know, but I would say, you know, the power of love and always providing an out for that individual. It is what I would say you should do. I know it's painful to watch, and I know it's hard to understand your brother or your sister or your mother or your friend, you know, watch them throw their life away. And I know, you know, you empty out your words and what to say, and sometimes you may get frustrated. But I'm telling you, that individual needs love. I'm telling you, that individual has voids in their life. And I'm telling you, that individual needs some type of support, and always needs, you know, some type of way out. But it's a painful place. It's a painful, painful place to be in. You know, for me, you know, it caused me to not love myself, to not doubt myself. I went from, you know, hiding it and, you know, saying, well, at least I get my haircut, at least I dress well, at least I whatever, to not even caring about dressing, not even caring about a haircut. You know, it totally dissimulates, it totally deflates and drains your life. You know what I'm saying? It's such a huge price. It's such a tough pain. And really, if I'm being honest, the moment that the addiction takes power over you, there is a death to your soul. There is a death to your spirit, because now you are under control and you are a slave to something else. You know what I'm saying? So, and I've never thought about that until I just said that just now. But yeah, the moment that you become addicted, like, there is a death to the core of your personality and to the core of who you are, because now you have yielded, you know, your will, and you may not even know that happened or when that happened. But you know, that is the ugly price and the you know, the ugly face of addiction. So let's talk about the recovery process. I mean, let's give God a hand praise. I need to cue my church and shout music. We need to thank God for a recovery process. Let me say this, and this is the whole reason why I tried to bare my soul in this podcast and be as transparent as possible. There is a recovery process. There is a chance for change. There can be a newness of life. There can be a new day. There can be a new tomorrow. You know, you insert whatever your phrase for a new beginning that you want to insert here, but you can have a new beginning. There can definitely be a new start. There can definitely be a recovery process. So if you're out there and you are struggling and you admit that you have your own addictions that you are battling, or maybe you have a friend, a family member, somebody in your community that you are praying for and concerned about, you know, listen to me and please hear my voice. There is a hope, and there is a recovery process. For me, you know, I have to give, and this is where the podcast gets real, because I have to give the credit and the glory to God for my recovery process. I have to say that my recovery process started with divine intervention. Really, what I knew for sure when I was in the rock bottomness and at the lowest level of my addiction, what I knew for sure is I could not help myself. I knew for sure that no matter, you know, how many days I woke up and said, I'm not going to do it today, I'm not going to get high today, you know, as soon as I got some money and got off of work later on that day, I was getting high. So in my case, in my story, I needed divine intervention. And, you know, if I'm going to take a step back, you know, I really want to say that, you know, overcoming any addiction, overcoming any power or any hurt or any fear or anything that has gained power over you, honestly, it's going to take some type of spiritual practice and or spiritual prowess. I said it earlier in the podcast, when you become, you know, a slave to an addiction, there's a part of you that dies. There's a part of you that becomes dormant. And what happens in the recovery process is that part of you becomes alive again. That part of you becomes restored again. That part of you becomes reconnected again. That part of you becomes replenished again. And you begin to, you know, experience, you know, new life, a new way of living. And I found that true in my recovery process. It was definitely divine intervention. You know, I definitely had to begin to pray. I definitely had to begin to cry out. I definitely had to begin to call on a greater power than myself. That is why I use the word divine intervention, because I realized that I was incapable in my humanity to stop and to change my behavior. I needed some type of strength. I needed some type of source to help me overcome and get through the addiction. And how that showed up for me was in separation. How that showed up for me was separation. God, aka the universe, aka the Holy Spirit, found, you know, a way for me to get out of the reach of my drug, and away from the people, places, and things that would put me in the reach of my drug. So separation was definitely a part of my healing process. The healing process, the recovery process, started, like I said, when my desire, when my will, when I could admit that I couldn't help myself, but my desire to be better changed. And I want to say that to anybody that's listening, the moment that you desire to be better, the moment that you desire freedom, the moment that you wake up and want a better existence for yourself, you are unloosening the straps and the power of addiction. The moment that you realize I'm better than this, the moment that you realize I'm more than this, the moment that you realize I have more to live for than this, you are taking the key and unlocking the handcuffs of addiction off of your mentality and out of your spirit. The moment that you begin to cry out, the moment that you see better, the moment that you know that you can feel better, the moment that you can do better, is the moment that real freedom, and it's the moment that you travel down the road of recovery. For me, you know, being separated from my drug, or being separated from everybody that I knew that was involved in my drug, was definitely, I have to say, the thing that saved my situation, the thing that saved my life. It was like being pulled. It was like being pulled out of a fire. It was like being pulled out of a house that was on fire and getting ready to burn down. You know, it was like being snatched right out of, you know, a building that was about to explode. But that was just the beginning of the process. That was just the beginning, you know, of the process. I had to go through much healing. I had to go through, you know, rebuilding and a lot of rethinking about, and a lot of reshaping about the way that I felt about myself, and about the way that I felt, you know, about the hope of my future. I had to go through the process of love and re-loving myself and being there for myself. I had to place in my life a system of support, of people who would hold me accountable, of people who would pray with me and support me. And let me say this about the recovery process. Yes, there were days when the appetite was still there. Yes, there were days, you know, when the thought crossed my mind. But because I was totally, you know, in my case, because I was totally lifted away from the situation, and the drug was you know, pretty much impossible for me to get. You know, that is what began to advance me in the recovery process. And every day that I went without the drug, every day that I could count as a clean day, really turned into a day of an empowerment for me. Every moment, every day that, you know, I could go up a number on the days of my freedom and being clean, those days turned into power. Those days turned into courage. Those days turned into ammunition. You know, once I got to 4 days, it made the fifth day easier. And once I got the further away that I got from my addiction, the stronger that I became in my ability to say no, and the stronger that I became, there was a sense of strength and an energy of strength that I began to feel as I began to overcome, as I began to walk out. And honestly, you know, the days turned into weeks, you know, and the weeks turned into months. And every week and every month that went by, it was like another notch in my belt of ammunition and spiritual prowess. You know, like I began to feel a sense of strength that I never felt before. You know, it is something about overcoming and walking on something that used to walk on you. It is something about the feeling and the energy that you feel when you can say no to something that used to hold you bound and used to hold you hostage. It is such a power that you feel every time you are able to look at something that had you bound and had you handcuffed and had you perplexed. And now you're able to, you know, positively and securely and confidently have the ability to resist and move forward. I want to be honest. That is the first time that I really felt spiritual prowess, spiritual power. That's what happened to me in my recovery process. Like, I began to look at myself like a champion. I began to look at myself like a giant. I began to look at myself as an overcomer. I began to look at myself victoriously, you know, and I began to say to myself, you know, if I could do this, you know, if I could overcome, you know, abusing crack cocaine, if I can overcome, you know, not going out and stealing and not going out and lying to my family, if I can overcome, you know, walking over this thing that used to walk over me, you have no idea the grace and the power and the superhumanness that you feel when you begin to walk out your road of recovery. You know what I'm saying? Those days in the beginning, you know, when you know, I would think about what everybody was doing, but as long as I went to work and got off work and came back to my safe place, you know, and, you know, I had to begin to put new things on my mind. I had to begin to give myself an appetite for new things. And those are all keys. Those are all things that I had to do and that I had to learn in the recovery process. I had to learn to put a new thirst on my mind. I had to give myself an appetite, you know, for something else. And I learned all of that, you know, on the road to recovery. You know, I had to build myself up and pick myself up. You know, one of the things that happened to me was once I got free from the drug, and, you know, once I began to experience freedom and walk in freedom, you know, for a minute, you know, there was a sort of pain or a sort of, you know, feeling bad for myself. Like, you know, Kia, what did you do to yourself? You know, how could you allow yourself? You know, so I began to beat. It was like I had got free from the drug, but then I began to beat myself up for allowing myself, you know, to go in that situation. So there are a lot of things that you're going to have to address, you know, on the road to recovery. Self-love, self-respect, building yourself up. You know, I had to put a strategy and I had to put boundaries for myself in place. I had to put a discipline for myself in place so that, you know, I could begin to, you know, call upon new actions, and so that I could call upon a new way of living and exercise a new way of living. That's what I had to do as I began to separate myself from my addiction. I had to replace the time that I would spend, you know, with my addiction on something else. Reading, the arts, prayer, you know, worship. You know, I used the word divine intervention earlier. You know, that is when I begin to feel my spiritual prowess the most, is in the area of when I begin to recover. Recovery is possible. I don't care where you are. I don't care who you know. I don't care what you have been through. I don't care, you know, how long your list is. You know, I you know, in my addiction, I gained a criminal history. I, you know, lost several jobs, became evicted, you know, lived in homeless shelters and slept on the streets. But recovery is still possible. You have to take one day at a time, put one thing in front of the other, one foot in front of the other, and take one step at a time. And each step that you take is a step further away from the thing that used to grab you, further away from the thing that used to hinder you, further away from the thing that used to hold you. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what has hindered you. I don't care how serious your addiction, or how serious, how hard the pain. You can overcome. There is a moving forward. There is a new day. There is a start over. Life is a classroom. Allow me to be your curriculum today. You know, allow my life, allow my story to say unto you that you can make it. Allow my story to say unto you that you can pull through. Allow my story to say unto you that, you know, as you begin to recover and walk that out, you will begin to see things about yourself and notice things about your strength that you didn't know. All the things that I told myself in my addiction, that I was weak and I couldn't help it and I was never going to make it and I couldn't pull it out, all those things were lies. You know, I did the exact opposite in recovery. I was strong. I did separate myself. I was able to say no. You know, I was able to take a stand. I was able to move my life forward. I was able to move my life in a newer direction. And the same could be possible for you. The same is possible for you. The same will be possible for you. Your brother, your sister, your friend, your loved one, whoever's in your community, whoever you know, this needs to reach. Understand, you know, that there is room for change. There is a song of victory that you can sing, you know, after addiction. You know, as low as I was, sleeping on the streets of downtown Indianapolis, as low as I was, standing in food lines, you know, hoping that there would be, you know, something to eat by the time I got to the front. As low as I felt, you know, having to wash up and shower in the library, you know, there is change. There is an opportunity for you to move on, for you to get over it, for you to get through. You can walk over the things that used to walk over you. You can stand on top of the things that held you bound. You can. There is absolutely a road to recovery. There is absolutely a song of victory and a song of change for your life. You know, don't sit there and wallow in the seat of. Don't sit there and wallow in the seat of addiction. Don't sit there and wallow in the seat of. Don't accept, you know, this as your ultimate fate. There is more for you. And as long as you can hear that there is more, as long as you can see that there's more, as long as you can sense that there's more, as long as you can feel there's more, as long as you go after the more, you will experience the more. I hope that my story will shed some light into your life. I hope that our time together doing this podcast would leave you inspired, would leave you motivated, would give you maybe an understanding about a family member or a friend that you did not know, would give you a grace to deal with somebody who's suffering in an addiction. And in fact, you are. You know, I pray that our time together would give you some strength. I pray that our time together would have given you some hope. I pray that our time together would have given you some love and some motivation and some inspiration.